Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of John. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
All right, let me say good evening to everyone. Oh, let me say good evening to everybody. Welcome again to your church and my church, Bible Way Community Baptist Church. This evening, we are studying out of the book of St. John. We're looking at John chapter 4 this evening. John chapter 4, as we are journeying with Jesus through the book of John, we have made it to the part where we're looking at the words of Christ. And we are looking at two counseling sessions that Jesus had. One he had with Nicodemus, and we looked at him talking about being born again with Nicodemus. And then tonight we'll look at the woman at the world, the woman at the well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on our time together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and answer prayers. Now, Lord, we ask that you will give us the leadership of your Holy Spirit. You lead, you guide, you direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. Touch in a mighty way. Help us to see really who Jesus is, and we'll be careful to give you the praises and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are looking at the gospel according to St. John, and as we're looking at this gospel, we ran across in John chapter 3, Jesus tells a man by the name of Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, this was a religious man. This man was the rabbi. He was the leading teacher, Bible teacher, in his day. It would be just like Jesus telling Billy Graham, after Billy Graham had finished preaching to multitudes of people, he have a private counseling session with Jesus in the back room, and Jesus says, Billy, you want to know your problem? Your problem is you must be born again. Now, many of us would think that would be the strangest thing in the world, wouldn't it? That Jesus tell Billy Graham that you need to be saved. Now, just think how Nicodemus must be feeling. He was the leading teacher. Everybody come to Nicodemus for counseling. Everybody look up to Reverend Nicodemus. But Reverend Nicodemus had a problem, and he snuck to Jesus at night to see about this problem. And we discovered last week the reason that he came by night was why. He was somewhat embarrassed. He was somewhat ashamed. He didn't want everybody to know that he needed some counseling. Amen. He didn't. I mean, that's just not public knowledge. You don't want folks to know all your business, do you? I mean, if you was going to a psychiatrist, you wouldn't want everybody to know your business, would you? Huh? Amen. Amen. As your pastor, I would feel somewhat embarrassed if I had to get some counseling. Amen. Some spiritual counseling. I would feel somewhat embarrassed. I'm here talking about drug addicts can be delivered from drugs and what have you. And y'all seeing me go over here to the AA center and what have you. Huh? I mean, you see pastor come over, you know, and when the word first get out, what would y'all probably say? Well, pastor probably over there counseling them AA folks. Huh? But somebody, y'all hear through the grapevine, pastor is in there talking about how many days he done been free. Huh? He's in there participating. Amen. 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 In Alcoholics Anonymous. See, you want to be kind of anonymous on that. Amen. So Nicodemus was trying to come in an anonymous way. He didn't come in the middle of a church service. Bible says he came at night and Jesus told him, you must be born again. But what I like about Jesus and this Gospel of John not only focused on one kind of person, because one kind of person could easily say, well, I'm glad I ain't like them. I ain't like that. I ain't like them religious. That's right, Jesus. Get them religious people. Get them folks in church who think they got it together. Them folks who, you know, they think they really got, I mean, they frown up on you. They turn their nose up at you. They really think they got it together. Matter of fact, they think that they're going to sit on the board of corporation of God's headquarters or something because they think they really got it together. So I'm so happy that Jesus really cracked down on Nicodemus and them kind of folks that are self-righteous folks. Let them know that you need to be born again. Just because you've been going to church, you still need to be born again. That could be your problem. That could be why you still act kooky. You, even though you've been going to church, you ain't been born again. Even though you've got a Bible, you ain't been born again. Even though you may sit on the usher board or sing in the choir, it's the reason you're still acting kooky and crazy. You ain't been born again. You ain't got it all yet. And a lot of people, you know, one of the mistakes we often make, we say, you know, I'm so glad, you know, that I got the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of times you hear people stand up in church, you know, sister, where we come from. People, they stand up and say, you know, we want to give honor to God, to who's the head of my life. But that's just in church, you know. Who's the head of my life until, Reverend so-and-so passed and pulpit, you know, and then they go on and give this speech about how they've been born again, been sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm so happy I got the Holy Ghost. But you hear them, soon as they leave this church, a lot of times they don't talk like they got the Holy Ghost. A lot of times you hear them say different things in that parking lot like they ain't got the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you let somebody beat them out of the parking lot. I mean, just cut them off at the pass. A lot of times you hear them say stuff that Holy Ghost didn't give them that. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. See, it's one thing to say, I got the Holy Ghost. That's another thing for the Holy Ghost to have you. See, I got this book. I'm so glad I got this book. I'm so glad. Oh, I got this book. I'm so glad I got this book. Singing glory, hallelujah. I got this book. I got this book. And I can drop that book. See, a lot of folks say, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost. But they can drop the Holy Ghost. That's why God has to have you, and not so much you got to have him. Because, see, soon as you go home and your husband make you mad, guess what you do? Now, let me tell you a piece of my mind. Huh? You go on and drop that. You leave that on at church. I mean, when somebody start acting ugly with you, you know, a lot of times you can act ugly with them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, two can play that game. I mean, they start yelling, you start yelling. Is that right? They start slamming door. I know how to slam a door. Yeah. Amen. I mean, whatever they do, you know, it's like that song, whatever you do, I can do better. Whatever they do, I can do better. And that's what we do when folks start getting on our nerves. They start cursing us out. We curse them out. Ain't gonna let nobody curse me out like that. Is that what we say? See, if you go around saying, I got the Holy Ghost, guess what? When they start cursing you, you're going to drop that Holy Ghost. You're going to drop that Holy Ghost business. Is that right? You start pulling off stuff. Is that right? Start pulling off stuff. Amen. Because you got to get comfortable here when you start arguing and fussing and fighting. Amen. But how many of you know that's the very opposite of how you posed to act? The Bible tells you to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to say. You don't need to be pulling off no stuff. You need to be putting some stuff on. Yeah, when folks, when the devil start attacking you, you better go on and put your breastplate of righteousness on. You better put your shield of faith on and stuff. You don't need to be pulling off stuff. That's the problem. Tonight, we're going to go on over in the hood. Let's go on over in the hood, since I don't know, you know, this may not be the religious crowd. So since it didn't hit you, I didn't hear enough ouches going on in John chapter 3. Let's look at John chapter 4. Maybe we might get some ouches going on in John chapter 4. Look what it says here. We always have to go to the hood, it looked like. John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, what's going on there? What's going on there? When Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard about his work, Jesus said, let me get on out of here and let me move on. Why? What is one of the biggest problems in the church? Come on, start with a J. Jealousy. See, whenever the new kid in town come to the block, a lot of times, rather than welcoming that person on into the fellowship, into the fold, a lot of times we look at that person as the threat. They're a threat. Particularly if they can do what I'm doing, that they're a threat. They're a threat. They're a threat. Because many of us, and you know why we are so jealous, and this is kind of off the record, but this is our Wednesday night crowd, so we open on Wednesday night. Is that right? Amen. Amen. See, one of the reasons we are so jealous and we are so quick to attack people and defend our position, it's because we are insecure in our faith. See, we hadn't went deep enough in the law. We are not rooted and grounded in Jesus. See, many of us just done got into religion. We come into the church, and once we get inside the church, then we start mimicking. We start practicing religion, not necessarily practicing Christianity. Start practicing religion. So you go from being Mike or John or Billy or Bob or Boo, and now you brother so-and-so, and we're sister so-and-so. And so we start learning, you know, how to address one another. All right, so I got that down. I got that down. Call each other brother and sister. All right, and then we start speaking religious jargon in the church. So rather than, you know, when we out in the club when they playing good music, what do we say? Huh? What are some of the words we say when they playing good music out there? Huh? That's my song. What else we say? Huh? They were jamming. What else? What else we say? Jamming. What else we say? Huh? Come on. Y'all act like y'all that far removed. Way removed. That's way on back there, Pastor. The Jesus done washed all that away. I don't even remember that no more. uh, Amen. But see, like now, when we get in church, you know, when I was growing up as a little boy out in the world, they used to say stuff like, man, you know, that's hip, cool, groovy. Huh? Is I'm right about it? Yeah. But you can't, when the preacher is preaching in church, you can't say, oh, groovy preacher. What do you say when the preacher is preaching?
Amen.
It's, all right, see, we don't start saying amen. We get a little, you know, amen, amen. And then, huh?
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Amen. What else? What else? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? So we start learning, you know, even in a conversation. You know, I find out this brother, you know, been blessed by the Lord. Well, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Then they hear that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Amen. You know, we don't. You see, when I was growing up, come on, Brother Booker, we used to get it, and then we used to put the hip action in it and everything. You see what I'm saying? Huh? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, y'all too young for that. See, y'all too young for that. Yeah, and that was just half of it. I didn't go through the whole thing, you know, pow, 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 boom, 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 you know. Oh, man, I mean, it would really be something, you know. Amen. See, y'all just going and do the chest bump today. You know, and it's over with, you know. Yeah. Yeah. The chest bump, or either, you know, y'all high five, and that's it. It's over with. Amen. 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 But in church, we learn a lot of religion. We learn a lot of religion. And basically, we just fall in line with how we see everybody else doing. If we see people dressing a certain way at a church, we fall in line and dress that way. We see them talk a certain way in church, we fall in line and talk that way in church. So, you know, it's how, even if the preacher's wearing a Jerry curl, you see the men's wearing Jerry curls. You know, amen, amen. Is the preacher have it all, you know, that grease falling all out of his hair? You'll see the brothers coming in all greased out. Amen, amen. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. But let's move on in our lesson. Because what I'm trying to get you to see is all of us are religious in some way or another. Even if you're out in the world, you are religious. Amen. Let me tell you something. How many of you, before you was in church, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just do like they teach you in church, say amen. But how many of you, when you was out there in the world, you practice your worldliness religiously? Whatever you done, you was good at it. I mean, if you was a liar, you were one of the best liars out there. If you was a cheater, you were one of the best cheaters. I mean, you practice your religious religiously. Hey, as a matter of fact, folks them even know you by how you practice your religion. Folks seeing you coming a mile away, they say, oh man, here come Ralph. What's wrong with Ralph, man? All he gonna do is lie. You see what I'm saying? You can't believe nothing he say. You see what I'm saying? Man, he still owe me. Amen. Still owe me. All right, let's move on in our lesson. But Jesus come to this town, and we see the jealous folks. So he moves on somewhere else. And that's what you got to do. You got to keep on going. You can't let jealous folks hang you up. Jealous people. See, one of the things that our problem is in churches, don't ever let somebody make you turn them into an issue. You got enough issues already. So you don't need more issues to be piling up on your plate. I mean, you got issues at home, so you sure don't need no issues in the church. So stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Go on and keep working for the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he came to a city called Samaria. Oh, verse 4. And he had to pass through Samaria. Now that's a key verse right there. Matter of fact, I like how it says it in the King James Bible. The King James Bible says he must need go through. I mean, it's a must. And notice, Jesus says, I got to go through Samaria. Now, why was that so important? See, most of us think the race issue is a new issue. It's a new phenomenon, something that came about, you know, in slavery or something. No, but the race issue has been there since almost the beginning of time, going all the way back over into Genesis, back over into Noah's day, among Noah's ancestry. And here, no Jew would pass through Samaria. Jesus was a Jew. Samaritans was mixed breeds. They was Jews that had intermarried with Gentiles. As a result, the Jews, whenever they would see a Samaritan, a good Jew, would turn his head and say, and spit. Because they didn't want to breathe the same air that they would breathe. So they hated them. I mean, that's hate. Have you ever hated somebody to the point that when you seen that person, you say, now that's hatred. That's hatred. I mean, to cock up, you know, a big wad of spit and poof. That's hatred. See, y'all think folks hate y'all just because they look at you with a mean eye at the break room or something, at the water fountain. Wait till they come to that water fountain and they see you and then spit in the water fountain when they know you finna use it. Now that's hatred, ain't it? That's how these folks, they hate it. But now, and normally, if you had to go from Jerusalem back to Galilee, you went around the city. You took the bypass. You didn't come straight down 30 coming on to Dallas. You go way around 20 to make sure that you didn't come across to see any of them. I don't want to smell the same air. I don't want to breathe the same air they breathe. But notice Jesus said, I got to go through them. Isn't that something? Now notice, Christ did not dodge confrontation. All right. Now he had a mission. He was on a mission. And notice, don't ever let culture interrupt your mission. I don't care what culture. I don't care what your homeboys and what your race say we supposed to. No, don't let your race dictate your Christianity. Your Christianity ought to dictate your race. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of times we often say that I'm a black Christian. No, that's wrong. See, you're making black an adjective, Christian a noun. You need to flip that. You need to say, I'm a Christian and I just happen to be black. No. My Christianity is the engine. My blackness is the caboose on this train.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.